Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Goals Do Come True with me, Doug Bennett, the Goals Guy. Today, I am joined by Ant Austin. Now, we know each other because we have an interest in books, more specifically, writing them. So that's how our paths cross. I'm going to keep the introduction sweet. I'm going to launch straight into a question with Ant. What I want to know, Ant, is how would you stop losing at life while you're busy scaling your business?
Well, that's an interesting question. And this comes from personal experience because I've been a business owner of a removals and storage company for 13 years. And so that was my initial goal when I was 23 to build that business. And whilst I was very successful in doing so, it was not the right business model for me. So the more successful I got at building that business, the less time I had, the more stressed out I was, the less time I was able to work on my relationships. So in order to stop losing at life while you're busy scaling your business, it comes down to self-awareness and having this understanding of yourself and what works for you. Because that business model, it's not me saying it's a bad business model. It just wasn't the right business model for me. But I wasn't aware of it at the time because it was just an industry that I fell into after leaving school. It was what I knew. I was good at it. So I started my own business. So that's where this comes from. And I see a lot of people in a similar situation to me. And I know it's not a nice seat to sit in.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. Totally with you in that regard. And I'm sure a lot of the listeners are going to understand that. You know, we give up our 9-to-5, death in service, pension scheme, all the rest of it to become an entrepreneur. For everything to be amazing and great and super, we make this promise to our family that we're giving up everything, and then we've changed or traded our 9-to-5 for a 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week alternative with no death in service, no pension scheme, no holidays, no nothing. So I'm sure that's going to resonate with a lot of people here. I also, you know, my first marriage failed because I was out working all the time doing what I thought was right for the family. You know, it's like, oh, I've got to work. I've got to bring the money in. Got to keep the roof over your head. I'm doing it all for you. But, you know, then the relationship is affected. So I'm sort of hoping you got one or two clues for the people that might be listening as to how we might address that sort of stuff. But, you know, tell me, how do we address that sort of stuff?
Well, again, I always say it comes down to self-awareness. And this is what's led me to my journey now, writing my book and on the cusp of launching a personal development company. Because I believe that it all starts through knowing exactly who you are. And the title of my book is actually, Who the Hell Are You? And where that comes from is because I read a line that said, it's never too late to be who you truly are. So because I'd started learning about some limiting beliefs that I had and I shifted them and I noticed that life was changing, I wasn't aware of those limiting beliefs. So when that question was sort of poised to me, or that statement, it's never too late to be who you truly are, I suddenly thought, well, who the hell am I? You know, because if I found a couple of limiting beliefs that are shaping my world, then what else is in there? And where did those beliefs come from? How were they formed? I now know I can change them. You know, so it gave me a lot of confidence, I think, at the time, and a lot of self-belief that your dreams and your goals can actually be achieved.
So self-limiting beliefs, a lot of them are created when we're sort of 0 to 12 years of age, right? They're enforced upon us by our family. So, you know, when you get to 25, 30, 35, they are so buried. deep within you. So how did you dig them out?
Well, when I started learning about limiting beliefs, I mean, this all started through getting business coaching, actually, to grow my moving company. And I did business coaching for about 2 years. And beliefs would come up every now and then. But I was all about the strategies. I wanted to know, how do I increase profit? How do I get more leads and clients? So I was doing all of that. One of my challenges was I could never get a team to work as I wanted them. I felt that was a big challenge. And I wasn't getting the right people. I say what a lot of business owners said, you can't get the right people. And this began to lull in my mind a little bit, because I was reading all the books on recruitment. I was doing all the courses on team building, communication, and systems. And I'd implement that all into my company. And yes, I got incremental gains, but I just instinctively knew there was something more at play. And what I noticed was I had a very common limiting belief that a lot of people have got, and that was, people will always let me down. So that was it. I intuitively knew that was holding me back in some way. So I worked with a coach, and we worked through it on a journaling process, which I now use and teach. And I changed that belief to, the right people will always be there to help and support me. Now, the minute I changed that belief and just committed it to paper, no word of a lie, the wrong people in my company started handing in their resignation letter. And they were worried about doing this. But inside, I was thinking, I was happy, you know, because they were the wrong people. It's hard to get rid of people nowadays and all of that. So, you know, as soon as that happened, I thought, there is something big to this, massively, you know, because like I said, I'd done all the work on the recruitment, the team building, the systems, all of that work. And that did help incrementally. But the minute I changed the belief that I held, it changed the game.
And that was a reframing of a belief into something more positively.
Yeah.
You know, positively versed. More importantly, positively written down. Because I'm a great believer in the goals that do come true are the ones that are written down, because it feeds your subconscious. And that's where the beliefs are. That's where, you know, they're deep within us, as we said earlier. So it's like, right, well, we've got to be feeding this information in. And the most effective way I've ever found, and you're doing journaling, is to write the things down on a regular basis. So I like that. I like that because it's supporting other thought processes that I have. But also, isn't it weird the way the universe conspires for you, not against you, when you change your thought processes on things, in so much as, right, well, now all of a sudden it's like, these people are, if they're the right person, they're good for my business, etc., etc. And then all the, not deadwood, but the people that needed to move on and find a more conducive place for them to work that suited them and their skills, because everybody has skills. It's just, you've got to make sure that they're in the right place to be able to implement them. So that's one big one. I like that. So what other beliefs were dug out of you that you know, you changed around a little bit and reframed? Because I'm sure there's a lot of people listening thinking, Jesus, yeah, I can't get the right stuff. It's, you know, it's very, very difficult. But is there another one that you could share with us?
There is, yeah. So another one that a lot of businesses have, is, no one can do it as good as me. Because
the perfect one, that is.
Our business is our baby. You know, we care about it immensely. And therefore, we assume that our staff and everyone else cares about it as much as we do. And if we don't delegate in the right way, it might not be done to our liking, and therefore we will just run around and be busy and try and do everything ourselves. So again, this is okay for some people, but if you have big sort of financial goals to scale that business, then it's simply not, that there's a disconnect there. There's a misfire, and that's essentially going to cause frustration.
And okay, again, and so how do you deal with that? I mean, I've got a thought process that I use when it comes to the jobs around the office. But what's your take on how you achieve that?
Yeah, so the first thing is become aware of it. Again, this is where I will always come back to self-awareness. Write the limiting belief down as it is. It's just a phrase of some sort, something you believe to be true. It's not necessarily true. So the first question to the journaling process is this. Is this belief 100% true? So then straight away, what you're doing, you're evaluating this belief, because our belief system is based upon our evaluation of something. And if we reevaluate that situation, our belief about it will change. So beliefs are so strong, you know, that's such a strong statement. No one can do it as good as me. Now, is this belief 100% true? Well, no, actually, there's lots of people in the world who can write a far better blog post than me, for instance. So straight away there, you just literally journal that. No, this is not 100% true. So the next question there would be, who am I with this belief? So now is like getting into your self-awareness. How am I acting? Right. I don't trust. I'm a little bit scared to delegate this work, and therefore I'm tiring myself out doing it. And there's a few questions. So then we'll ask, where does this belief come from? And quite often it's always related back to some event that's happened in the past. And there's sometimes a secondary gain to a belief. What is the secondary gain? That could be, you know, anything to say, you know, like, I don't make mistakes. And if this blog post was put out and it doesn't convert, for example, it's not that my messaging is wrong. It's because, you know, the people don't get it. You know, so it's kind of like saving you. It's an ego thing in some way. And the biggest one to change it is this. It's this question. What are the long-term implications of holding on to this belief? So this is where we might look at our business and ourselves and our relationships further down the line. If you're working too many hours a day and you're married, you know, the odds are you're going to strain that relationship. If you've got young children, then are they going to have time for you when they grow up? Because you didn't have time for them in their eyes when they grew up, you know. And then we get to the point where we say, well, what new belief would I like to create? And then basically you write down a new belief that you do believe is 100% true. So my belief about people will always let me down. Is this 100% true? No, because not everyone has let me down. What's the new belief? The right people will always be there to support me. Is that 100% true? Yes. So you redirect that energy. And like you mentioned, Doug, life doesn't happen to you. It can happen for you when you're doing these processes. And I always look at it that we're energy. So when we change these beliefs, life's happening through us with the bright energy. So if we're emitting this sort of vibration that people will always let me down, we can only attract people who are going to let us down. So I always say, like, life is happening through us. There's energy coming to and through us. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you totally in that regard. The universe, you know, I talk about the great architect of the universe and a bigger being, because then that encompasses whoever you may believe in, wherever your religion comes, but it also encompasses the vibrational aspect of attraction, the law of attraction, I think, you know, because we are predominantly all energy. and we've just gathered together to create this mass that people can see. But, you know, if we look at us as closely as possible with a, you know, super microscope, there isn't actually anything there. So, you know, we're all vibrating to create this and send the right vibrations out. And I find that if I change things ever so slightly, new things happen to help. So, you know, I'm totally, totally with you. And there's going to be people out there that, you know, no, it's woo-woo, right? However, it's now becoming a science. It's now being scientifically measured that, you know, the energy is out there and we're attracting the energy. And I was talking to my mentees yesterday about, you know, being jammed up. And sometimes you need to let things go so that new things can come in. And I liken a wardrobe. If your wardrobe is full of old clothes that you can't get into most of them anymore, because as we grow older, unless you're, you know, committed to the gymnasium 24/7, you're going to be putting weight on as you go along. And those clothes that you've had and get that one day you'll get back into, you know, get rid of them, because then you're creating room for the new stuff and you're not jamming in the new stuff and spoiling it before you start. And life is like that. We need to remove some of the stuff that's not working for us and give ourselves room to be able to pull in and draw in and see new opportunities that will serve us better for the future.
Yeah.
And so I love the fact, you know, you're reframing old limiting beliefs and replacing them with new ones to bring the new stuff in. It's perfect. Absolutely perfect. I love it. So I thought I was being clever by quoting your book there right at the beginning, but actually it's the subtitle. Remind us again the subtitle of your book.
The title of the book is Who the Hell Are You? And the subtitle is Understand Yourself, Find Your Purpose, Live a Better Life.
Right.
And it's written like that because ultimately, I think we all want success on some level. However, what I'm saying in the book is success is a very personal thing. And therefore, that must come from yourself. We've got so much distraction now that success, an idea of success, is shown to us on Instagram, for instance. It could be a Range Rover, a Louis Vuitton suit, a Gucci handbag, a holiday destination. Now, that might be other people's ideas of success, but everyone's got their own personal idea of success, because you will see people who will go to them same holiday destinations, but they don't feel happy inside, because it didn't ultimately come from them. It was someone else's idea. They've acted on someone else's decision and someone else's idea of success. So this is where I always come back again to self-awareness. And you touched upon some good points, because like you say, this word woo-woo that, you know, goes around, and I suppose you can see why people say that. But when you were using the example of the clothes, you get the clothes out and then you fill it up with new ones. I mean, we're living with laws of the universe. So that law there is the law of vacuum. So I wanted a new bookcase, for example, but there was no room. The minute I cleared a space, this new bookcase just turned up on my Facebook feed that was free to take away. You know, I have a big goal at the moment to just have a kitchen extension on our house. And I've said to my wife, I said, well, you know, all our furniture's there at the moment, you know, all our outdoor furniture. So I said, after the summer's gone, we'll clear that completely, because at the moment, we can't bring this kitchen extension in because there's no room for it. So we're going to create a vacuum. And another law of the universe by doing that is the law of cause and effect. So whatever you do or say will cause some effect. So I just want to get to some of the practical aspects of, you know, what I'm saying. And it does run in accordance with these laws. They work every time. The law of gravity, always works. It's no different from the law of attraction, vibration, cause and effect, vacuum, and the law of polarity. So they all work. And yeah, so I'm heavy on the limiting beliefs and self-awareness because they're ultimately changing your vibration. Because if you think positive, you will naturally feel a lot more energetic. And if we get into the energy here a little bit, it's like energy can only flow from positive to negative. So you've only got to ask any electrician that. It cannot flow from negative to positive. And there's a chapter in my book, actually, which is called You Are Electric. Because like electric, we emit a pulse. Like electric, we have an energy field and a magnetic field. And it can only flow from positive to negative. So if you're in an upbeat mood, you will have more energy. If you're downbeat, you will feel sluggish, like you've got no energy. And no matter how hard you try to inject some energy into you, energy cannot flow from negative to positive. So you've got to constantly, on a day-to-day basis, keep yourself with this positive mindset through positive habits, positive thoughts, and having a vision and goals.
And goals, the most important thing. Thank you for sharing that bit. So what's your big, hairy, audacious goal at the moment?
So I've got a few of them. One of them, I'm looking at my goals now. My kitchen extension. I need to get my kitchen extension built. I also want an apartment in Southampton that, because I live in Guernsey, you see. So I'd like an apartment in Southampton that we can rent out to people who go down there, but we'd also have a place to stay when we go away. So those are my goals. I have other goals. I'm very big on goals. And like you said, I write them all down. Because I read somewhere that the writing is the bridge between the conscious and the subconscious mind. So again, with what I do and everything, we're always trying to reprogram this subconscious mind. That's where all our beliefs live, all of our habits, and all of our behaviors. And ultimately, it's what we do which determines our results.
And how much detail? So, you know, the Southampton apartment, that sounds like, you know, eminently useful for your set of circumstances. So, you know, it will have passed the test of time. So it would be a constant, because I find sometimes goals come in and they're there for a day or so and then they disappear. So this has been created a constant. Have you reverse engineered what you need to do to be able to achieve that? Is it behind the kitchen extension? Is that the first thing? I'm imagining the kitchen extension is probably slightly smaller as a project than an apartment in Southampton. So I would guess it's behind. Or is it the other way? You know, have you created a plan around that? Or is it just still at the goal stage?
It's a very loose plan. You know, what I've learned about goal setting is, again, going back to self-awareness. So how do you set goals? First of all, you've got to know what you like, what you want. So I will do that by sort of closing my eyes. You can call it meditation. You call it sitting down quietly. And whatever I want to come to me will come naturally. And again, this comes from knowing who you are, because essentially we're spiritual beings in physical bodies. And the spirit is always seeking fuller expression and expansion. And therefore, that's where our true wants come from. So I believe you can only do this by going inward. So I will visualize what I want. I won't think about it too much. And whatever comes in, a perfect world scenario, not something that I think I can achieve, a perfect world scenario for my life. And then I will write it down. Then I will commit it to paper. Because I study Earl Nightingale a lot, and he has a great definition of success. And he says, success is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. So an ideal is an idea that you've fallen in love with. And so I don't think hell I only know that I can. So a lot of people will say to me, well, how are you going to achieve your goals? And the answer is always the same. I don't know yet. Do you know what I mean? So I write my goals down very bluntly as if they're happening now. And you say, do these goals come and go? My goals are always on me. Like part of my personal development course is I've got goal cards, and my goals are on cards, and they're in my pocket every single day. And I take them everywhere with me, and I read them multiple times a day.
I have to say, it's funny. I used to get looked at oddly, but in my top pocket, I had 6x4 cards. You know, normally about 10 of them, and I had goals on there or affirmations or, and I was in the sales team, and they'd look at me like I was some kind of loon, except I whooped their ass every week, every month. And it's like, yeah, okay, I'll look like a loon, but each month I'll have more money going in the bank than you guys do. And I was just reminded when you picked your cards out that I need to pick that up again. Because isn't it funny how we do things that work and then we stop doing them? But they worked. Why did we stop doing them? You know, it's just crazy. Let's, you know, carry on with the good stuff. So I think we need to look back again. You know, it's this awareness thing. Look back at where you had periods of success and where you accelerated your growth, and see if you can find stuff from there that was helping you at that point so that you can reintroduce it.
It's interesting, isn't it? It's almost like we're always in danger here of being influenced, because this is always coming to us all the time. We can't control what comes to us, but we can control in our conscious mind whether to accept or reject these sort of thoughts and ideas. And when you said that, I thought back to when I was younger. I would always, if I wanted to do something, I would get completely all in on it and I would be successful. I'd do it. But over the years, as I got older, I was kind of called out on it a little bit, and people made a little bit of fun of me, you know, saying, oh, you know, he gets obsessive about things and all of this. And, you know, once he's got an idea, he won't let it go. And then you start thinking, because you're in the minority, you go, yeah, maybe they're right. Maybe they are right. And so I sort of stopped that kind of behavior for a long time. And now, because I'm so deep in the study now, of what I do, those are actually proven success principles. Persistence, faith, and desire. And I was doing it naturally. The cause and effect, whatever you say or do would cause some effect. If you do it once, it will cause an effect. If you do it 50 times, it's going to cause 50 times to the effect. That's mastery. But I brought into other people's opinions. And just like you, when you look at them, they weren't getting the results. I was. So again, comes down to the awareness, self-awareness. What do you want to do at the end of the day? What is success to you?
And that is the important thing. What is success to you? And don't take any guidance from people that haven't got the success that you want either. That's the other thing. You know, if somebody's got an opinion on something, have a look at their status, because it's relatively straightforward to see. And it's like, if it's wildly different positively to you, emulate it, listen and take notice. And if it's considerably worse than where you are or where you want to go, take it with a pinch of salt, I would suggest.
Yeah, I think if you're getting advice from people on your goals, or you know, the steps towards getting to your goals, then you need to make sure that advice is excellent. Therefore, if you want a business coach, go and find the best business coach in the world if you can. You know, that's what I tend to do, or watch their stuff and do exactly what they tell you, because they're getting the results, and that's the kind of results that you want, if it is, you know.
And that's that, you know, that you touched on an important piece there. there's always enough, if they're a good coach, there's enough of their stuff out there for you to get some movement towards where you want to be. But also there's enough out there for you to realize that they are the type of people that you want in your life. And then you make it a goal that you want to be working more closely with that person. And the universe will help you achieve that. You know, that's why I try and give, you know, if I have coaches on or people that have got something available to people, I'm more than happy to share, because I mentor people and help them along the way using my 40 years of business experience. But they might not gel with me, but they may gel with you. And it's like, well, as long as between us, we help somebody along the way, the job's a good one, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's just helping people become aware of what they've already got. You know, it's very important that I say in my book quite often, you've already got all the answers you need inside of you. It's just a case of drawing it out. And I'm studying Think and Grow Rich at the moment, the book, and it says in there that the word educate is actually educo or educare, which is a Latin word, which actually means to induce and draw out from within. Where I think we've got that muddled up over the years, and we've tried to just put data into our memory. And if you can memorize the information, then you'll get an A star on an exam, and you might get an A star in business studies. But then you go out into the real world and you don't know how to run a business, for example, because you may theoretically be able to do it and make a profitable business on paper. But when it comes to actually taking that action and getting the results, then you could have all of these destructive habits and conflicting beliefs that don't allow you to build a business. So it's a completely different skill set.
And there's really only a certain number of people that should be allowed to build a business anyway. You know, it's not for everybody. There's trials, there's tribulations, there's sleepless nights, there's on the brink of bankruptcy, there's, you know, when's the next mortgage payment going to be paid? How is the next mortgage payment going to be paid? You know, all of that, and we see it, you know, success is that tip of the iceberg, isn't it? And that people see, they just see the great stuff. And yet, you know, below the surface is a pile of angst. Now, I don't want to frighten anybody off. I just want them to be realistic about what they're taking on. You know, do the study. Very, very easy to launch straight into a business with a couple of grand behind you, but that couple of grand will disappear very, very, very quickly. So, you know, I advocate, maybe if you've got something that you're passionate about, maybe consider a side hustle to start with. Just run it alongside. And then, of course, you'll get used to these 70 or 80 hours a week, because you'll be doing your 9 to 5, and then you'll be running your business with the remaining part of the week where you're not sleeping. And so that will get you in the habit of running a business. But it's not all about, you know, that's how it is at the start. What we want to do is get that work. There isn't a work-life balance. Somebody told me you're either in work or you're out of work. You know, there's no balancing between the two, but it is like making sure that your relationships are looked after correctly and that you're, you know, allocating time for that sort of thing so that, you know, your kids know who you are as they're growing up, so that they care about you in the future. And come and see you when they've left home and all of that sort of thing. Have you got any tips for that side of things?
Yeah, so I was just thinking as you were talking, what prompted me to actually make the decision to close down my moving company and move to what I actually wanted to do, write my book and the personal development company, was actually made by my wife when she was diagnosed with breast cancer a couple of years ago. So that was the point that made me go, no, I don't want to do this, and I'm going to take action and close it down. So when you say about relationships and that work balance, and yeah, building a business is a lot of work, but you never want it to affect your relationships, because when that moment happened to me, what was more important? It wasn't the business at all. The business was nothing, you know, to me. The important thing was the relationship. So that's what made me act. And so sometimes we can fall in this trap of thinking, well, I'm building my business for my family, and once I get successful, then they'll have a great life. But that's a flawed plan. You need to live it like today, you know, live your legacy. I heard that the other day. Rather than leave a legacy, live a legacy. And so it is tricky getting that balance between work and family and relationships, but it is essential. And that also includes your health as well, in that for sure. It is essential, and it's a constant challenge. There's another interesting chapter in my book. I keep coming back to my book, and it's called You Are Time. So this is just addressing the I don't have time, which I now call an excuse, which I used to use all the time. And it's just like, if we weren't here, then we would have no concept of time. That's the way I look at it. So when we say things like, I don't have time to do that, what we're actually saying is, I've allocated my time doing something that I deem more important, or my beliefs deem is more important. And therefore, it takes a lot of courage to go against that, to create the time that you might need to build a business or whatever it may be, chase your dreams, chase your goals. So again, that comes down to self-awareness. I am time. I can be here with you now, or I can be somewhere else. Like, but I make the decision to be where I am, because without me, I have no concept of time from a consciousness point of view.
I like that. It's your choice. Because we've all got the same number of minutes, seconds, hours, and days.
And we might feel bound by all of these obligations that we have. And I know I certainly did in my moving company for a long time. But I did get to the point where I go, well, Ant, you're actually making the choice to do this 8 hours a day. If you read about anyone who's successful, like achieved massive success, they'll always tell you the same. I went all in on doing whatever I wanted to do. They always say, well, what would you have done if you weren't doing this? And they don't have an answer for you, because they've never really contemplated it. They said, I was just doing this, whether I was getting paid or not.
Okay, so do you think you found your passion now?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I love writing. I always have done. And I think I could write books every, I think I just write every day. I absolutely love doing that, and communicating personal development ideas that people can take and implement in their own life to have the success that they want to get. See, initially, when I started online, I didn't really have a clear vision. I thought I wanted to be a business coach, but I kept saying to my coach at the time, Cordelia Kate, actually, I kept saying to her, I kept saying, there's something people need before they can build a business. And I couldn't figure out what it was. And then I realized it's all about, you know, you as the individual. You have to prime yourself in order to be that business person to build a business. And it's not just business, it's anything. If you want to be a great husband, a great father, mother, whatever it may be, athlete, it all comes down to you and your own thoughts and your own plans.
Yes, I think we do need to do a little shout out to Cordelia Kate and the Rebellious Business Network. They're pretty cool. And I've worked with Cordelia and part of her group. And yeah, seriously, some good stuff there to delve into you and find out about you and what it is that you want to achieve. So yeah, well, maybe drop a note in the show notes that people can reach out. Now, I'm going to ask you for a goal setting and Austin golden nugget something that the world needs to know about goals and goal setting that we haven't touched on at all already?
So first of all, just to go over what we have touched on, I always think goals need to come from that vision. So they need to come from you going to a quiet space, taking time to think about it, and then whatever comes to you, just write it down and don't think about the how, because it wouldn't be a goal if you knew how to do it, because you'd already done it. So the answer to how you're going to do it, I don't know. And like we said, there's a cause and effect. So there's just a load of causes before getting to that goal, because that goal you write down is the effect that you want to achieve, but you don't know what causes you need to take to get there. Secondly, write it in the present tense as if it's happening now. So I have a goal to build my kitchen extension. So the way I've written that is my kitchen extension is built and paid for. Write your goals positively. So for instance, some people might say, I want to be mortgage free. Well, all your subconscious mind hears there is mortgage. So you're always going to have a mortgage. It would be much better to write that goal like, my house is paid for, because that's what your subconscious mind is hearing. Your words are very important because your subconscious just hears everything. So I drive my wife crazy. She'll say, oh, that's bad. And I'm just saying, oh, no, just say that's not good. Do you know what I mean? Because the subconscious don't really hear the not. It would just hear good. Transfer them to a card. Look at them as often as you can. Look at your goals at least once a day, at least. And again, do that either before you go to sleep at night or just after you wake up, because again, your subconscious is more sort of active in those times. Your subconscious is always active, but your conscious mind tends to go to sleep when you sleep, but your subconscious is still working. So just before you go to bed, or just after you get up, your subconscious isn't, your conscious mind is not quite switched on yet. So we need to get that goal into that subconscious mind.
That's it. That's perfect. Perfect golden nugget. Now, Ant, how can people get hold of you? What's the best way to get hold of you? I know your book's coming out very, very, very shortly. So we'll make sure that that's contained in the show notes so that people can buy the book. But where can we get hold of you? What's the best place?
Yeah, so I'm on all the social media channels. I'm on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn. I have a Facebook group, which is called Be the Limitless You with Ant Austin. I also have a website, bethelimitlessyou.com, where you can pick up a free chapter of the upcoming book.
Okay, well, that's cool. So Be the Limitless You.
Yeah, that's the name of the company.
Brilliant. And that's what we want everybody to be. You know, adopt goals. Goals do come true. Have them in your life. Get some support. Maybe look at the Facebook group here and download the first chapter or a chapter. A chapter. He didn't say the first chapter. Download a chapter of Ant's book just to get a feel for it, and then you'll know that you'll be happy to invest in the real hardcore copy when that comes available. So Ant, thanks very much for joining me today. It's been a pleasure to get to know you. I mean, our paths cross, you know, in a couple of different places through Georgia and through Cordelia and the like. So yeah, it's good to actually see you for real and have a good chat with you. So thanks very much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you very much for recommending like Georgia and stuff, because it's been absolutely amazing. And those are right business results to have helped me write my book. So without you telling me that I should go there, I might not have done it. So thank you.
Well, that's awesome. Shout out to Georgia then and the team at Right Business Results. Thanks very much, Anne.
Thank you.